Amen. Thank you, ladies. Come, ye thankful people, come. The song they were just playing. So we got to ask ourselves the question, are we thankful people? You know, thankfulness does not come to us automatically. You're not thankful a person just because you're born. You have to learn to be thankful. We have to learn to be thankful. And I'm afraid to admit that for us who live in this country, who are blessed so incredibly, it's really easy to not be thankful. It's really easy to take things for granted and not be thankful. The Jewish people, when they would go to their annual pilgrimage festivals three times a year for Passover and the Festival of Tabernacles and Pentecost, when they went, thousands and thousands of people would travel to Jerusalem. And when they got to Jerusalem for the celebrations, they would always, during those celebrations, recite the Hallel, which is Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. Every time it was recited, that was very important. And those psalms have to do with reasons to be thankful to God for all he's done for them. We're going to look at one of those psalms today, Psalm 118. Because as they went there and recited these psalms, they're reminding themselves of reasons to be thankful, reminding themselves of all that God has done for them. And I have a hunch we need to remind it as well. All that God has done for us in this great song of thanksgiving, Psalm 118. Would you stand as we read God's word this morning? A song of thanksgiving. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They swarmed around like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them off. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted up. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely. He has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness, and I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Lord, thank you for your word today. We pray today, Father, that you'll speak to us through your word. We want to open up our hearts and minds to receive your message this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Although David's name doesn't appear in the title of Psalm 118, many people think this is a psalm of David. There's internal evidence in the psalm itself that suggests that David wrote this psalm. And in this psalm, David gives us a lot of reasons to be thankful. Same reasons the people of the Jewish people were thinking about reasons to be thankful when they went to Jerusalem to worship on their holy days. And here we are on Thanksgiving Sunday, and we're going to look at these same reasons to be thankful people. Thank you, Lord. The first one, thank you, Lord, for your steadfast love. Four times in the first four verses, David says, his love endures forever. His love endures forever. That word is the Hebrew word kesed, which is a really rich Old Testament word, very similar to our New Testament word for grace. It's been translated love and kindness. steadfast love, compassion, even mercy. It refers to the unchanging, never-ending love of God for us, the sacrificial, giving love of God for us that does not quit. When you study the history of the nation of Israel, you see that God blessed them and helped them so many ways, but they often rebelled against God and went their own way. And God, though, even though Israel broke their covenant with him, he never broke his covenant with them. He still loved them with this steadfast love, this unfailing love that they could not get away from. Lamentations says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So we can be thankful today for this amazing love of God, this amazing love that God has for us. He's an amazing God, and he's a God of love, and he loves us incredibly. He really gives us our identity. You know, we don't have to think about ourselves in view of whatever the people think about us. Think about yourself in view of what God thinks of you. You're loved by him. He loves you incredibly. Thank you, Lord, for your steadfast love. Number two in our list is thank you, Lord, for giving us freedom. Verse 5, David experienced freedom. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me by setting me free. Now, if you know the history of King David, he was anointed king way before he was king. He was anointed king, but Saul was king at the time, and David had to run for years and years and years with Saul trying to chase him down and kill him. So David experienced firsthand this freedom to get away from Saul and to live and to be free. And David knew what it was like. He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord answered him and gave him freedom. David also experienced a different kind of freedom years later when he sinned against the Lord, and he was confronted with this sin, and he confessed it before the Lord. He experienced the wonderful freedom of forgiveness, the wonderful freedom that comes when the Lord forgives our sins and wipes them out, and we are like white as snow, as he wrote. Thank you, Lord, for giving us freedom. Number three, thank you, Lord, for being our strong companion. Our strong companion. David says here, the Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. I remember on the farm that I grew up on, we lived in my grandparents lived on the same farm as us. They were a little ways away from us on the farm, not a long ways, but for a young boy to go from our house to grandma and grandpa's house was kind of scary at nighttime because there wasn't very many lights. We had a couple barn lights up, but not very many lights. And to get to my grandma's house, you had to go out through our back door, through the backyard, past the shed, past the grapevines, over the ditch, past the chicken coops, around by the haystack, and past the barn, and you get to grandma's house. And I'm not positive, but I think I set world records running from my house to grandma's house because I was just scared to death. It was dark, and there could be scary people out there hiding somewhere. So I ran as fast as I could to get there. Sometimes, though, occasionally, my dad would go with me when we had to go to grandma's house in the dark. And you know what? I was never, ever afraid when my dad went with me. Never afraid, even though it was dark, because he was with me. He was my strong companion. I trusted in my dad. And he was with me, and I never had fear. That's what David is saying here. The Lord is with me. I won't be afraid. The presence of the Lord gave him confidence, no matter what he would face. When he faced, as a young boy, Goliath, he knew the Lord was with him. When he was running through the wilderness from King Saul, he knew the Lord was with him. When he became king, and God blessed Israel to be this little tiny nation, to be the superpower of the world at that time, David knew the Lord was with him. He had a strong companion. We can be so thankful that wherever we are, as followers of Jesus, we have a strong companion with us. Amen? The Lord is with us. Even if you're encountering things you don't want to encounter, bad times or problems, the Lord is with you. I really believe if we could really get our minds to really grasp this, it would change the way we live. To know that we have a strong companion all the time. You are never alone. Never alone. The scripture says, God says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God is with us. He is our strong companion, and that makes all the difference. Number four, thank you, Lord, for being our safe refuge. Safe refuge. David says it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in a man. Better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Now, David knew about refuges. He knew places where he could hide. He had to hide from Saul for a lot of years. And one of the places when we go to Israel, we usually go to is a place called En Gedi. The springs of En Gedi is one of the places that David hid when he was going looking for places to hide from King Saul. A refuge is a safe place where you can hide. But David, as he went through his life, began to understand that for him, a refuge wasn't a place, but a person, the person of God Almighty. God was his refuge. God was his refuge. God is our refuge and strength, the ever-present help in trouble. David experiences that God was always with him. He is his strong companion, so he is his refuge. He is his safe place. So since God is always with us, we always have our refuge with us, right? He is our safe place. He is our safe place. Number five, thank you, Lord, for victory over our enemies. Victory over our enemies. David says, all the nations surrounded me, but the name of the Lord, I cut them off. David enjoyed victory over his enemies many, many times. He acknowledged he did it in the name of the Lord. He did it. The power was in the name of the Lord. It wasn't his power. It was the Lord's power. We have an enemy as well. Different maybe than David's. And our enemy would like to do anything to keep us from being thankful. Because when we're thankful, we're focusing on God and his blessings. When we're being unthankful, we're usually focusing on ourselves and what we don't have, instead of focusing on God and his blessings. There's a story, it's a legend. It was told that a man found a barn where Satan kept his seeds ready to sow in the heart of humans. He found that the seeds of discouragement were more numerous than all the other seeds, and he learned that those are the seeds that could grow almost anywhere. But when Satan was questioned, he reluctantly admitted there was one place they could never grow. "What is that?" the man asked. And Satan sadly replied, "In the heart of a grateful person." In the heart of a grateful person. You see, thankfulness is really good for us. Even though we're commanded to be thankful, it's really the best thing for us as well, to be thankful. In the name of the Lord, we have victory over enemies. The most significant enemy that we will fight is sin and death. And Jesus Christ defeated those enemies for us, dying on the cross for our sins, being raised back to life. Came back to life, he defeated sin and death, and we have victory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for victory. They celebrate it, we celebrate it. Number six, thank you, Lord, for being our helper. David says, I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. In other words, he was almost ready to go down, but the Lord helped him. When I think about that, I think about the story of Peter in the New Testament when Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water. Remember that story? Walking to Jesus on the water, and then he saw the waves and the wind, and it began to sink. He was about to go down, 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 and at that very moment, Jesus reached out his hand and helped him, saved him, picked him up. Thank you, Lord, because you are our helper. Isn't it amazing when you think about it that the Creator God is our helper, that God wants to help us? Little, measly us here on earth, these people that he's created, he wants to help us. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? In Hebrews, it says. In order to be helped, you have to ask. God's willing to help. Oftentimes we don't ask, but he's willing to help us. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. Number seven, thank you, Lord, for being our strength. In verse 14, it says, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. That is taken from Exodus chapter 15, which was a song that the people of Israel sang after they'd crossed the Red Sea. Remember the story. They left Egypt. They got to the Red Sea, guided by God to this place, got to the Red Sea, and they were being chased down by the Egyptian army. They were in a tough spot. They were powerless to fight against the Egyptian army. And they found out that God would fight for them. God would be their strength. So when they got to the other side of the sea, they sang this song. Part of the song was, God, you are our strength. You're our strength. It isn't our army that's our strength. You're our strength, the Lord God. And they honored him. And for us, God is the strength that we need for anything that we encounter. Paul said in Philippians, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength, through him who gives me strength, and that's Jesus Christ. Whatever we face, God will give us what we need to face it. He gives us the strength we need. Now, we need to understand he doesn't give the strength apart from himself. He is our strength. He is our strength. The presence of God in us through his Holy Spirit, he is our source of strength. That's why it says in the scripture that God is able to do more than we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. It's him that does it. He is our strength. It doesn't matter whether you're going through good times or bad times. He is your strength. If we'll trust in him. If we'll trust in him. Number 8, thank you, Lord, for being our song. Again, this comes from the celebration on the other side of the Red Sea. When they were saved and they were on the other side of the Red Sea, they said, Lord, you've become our song. So guess what they're singing about on the other side of the Red Sea? They're singing about God. They're singing about God. He has become their song. He is the subject of their praise. They're not singing about God's blessings. They're not singing about God's protection. They're singing about God. Lord, you're our song. Whenever we trust in God completely, God, and we realize how much he's done for us, God has become our song. We praise him. We did that just a few minutes ago, singing these songs of worship. You know, how great thou art. God is our song. We're praising him for all that he's done. Number 9, thank you, Lord, for being our salvation. Again, part of the Exodus story. They sang this on the other side. The Egyptian army was coming down against them. The Red Sea is in front of them. They cannot cross. They're trapped. They're doomed by a human perspective. They can't fight. They can't escape. They can't run. They can't do anything. They're trapped. And then God came. And God parted that Red Sea. And they walked through on dry land. And when they got to the other side, they sang the song, Lord, you have become our salvation. They knew who to thank. It wasn't their ingenuity that did it. It wasn't that they were so smart or the strength of their army or anything. It was God who did it. Lord, you have become our salvation. We find ourselves in the same place. Because of sin, we're trapped. The devil and his army is coming down after us, trying to push us into the sea of disappointment and discouragement. I guess maybe we could, for our analogy, say the sea is hell. Hell was created for devil and his demons, but he'd like to take as many people with him as he can into that terrible place. And we're trapped. But the Lord shows up. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He came to rescue us. And just as God opened up the Red Sea so that people could walk through on dry land, he gave us the way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is that way. He has become our salvation. There's no other name but the name of Jesus that we can find salvation. At the top of the list should be that Jesus Christ is our salvation, and we're thankful for his salvation. Number 10, thank you, Lord, for reasons for joy. Reason for joy. So he says in verse 15, shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. You see, the reason they're joyful and shouting for joy is because what God has done. Not what they've done, what God has done. He gives us so many reasons for joy. God is a God of joy, and he wants to share that joy with us, and we have to choose it. And think about all that God has done. You can choose what you think about. If you concentrate on all your problems and all your challenges, or you can concentrate on what God has done for you, it gives you reasons for joy. Billy Graham said these words, nothing turns us into bitter, selfish, dissatisfied people more quickly than an ungrateful heart. And nothing will do more to restore contentment and joy than a true spirit of thankfulness. Again, we see that thankfulness is good for us. It's good for us. That's why Paul, who, even though he was a prisoner in a Roman jail, chained to a Roman guard, falsely arrested, could say these words when he wrote the letter to the Philippian church, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." It's amazing. He was in a tough place, but the Lord gave him reasons for joy. Number 11, thank you, Lord, for all you have done. Verse 16 says, the Lord's right hand has done mighty things. He's done mighty things. He's done so many things. You know, I'm convinced he's done more things than we know about. You know, we thank him for what we can remember, but you don't know everything the Lord has done for you. How many times the Lord has protected you? How many times the Lord has blessed you that we don't know about? I think we're going to be amazed maybe when we get to heaven, and maybe if we see it and we go, wow, didn't realize you'd done so much. He's doing so much for us. We, I'm afraid, take so much for granted. Helen Keller, who spent her life, you know, not being able to see and hear, wrote these words. She says, I've often thought it would be a blessing if each human being were stricken blind and deaf for a few days at a time during their early adult life. It would make them much more appreciative of sight and the joys of sound. We take things for granted, don't we? Flora, who was here a few months ago from Africa, she runs a school in Africa for girls who are abused and have been trafficked, and it's you heard the story when she came. We met with her the night before she spoke in church, and one of the things we asked her is, what was your impression of America? First time she'd been in America, and what do you appreciate or thankful for? And you know what she said? She said, when I go into the bathroom and turn the water on, clean water comes out. She doesn't have that at home. Isn't that interesting? We take that for granted, don't we? We take so many things for granted, the blessings that we have. Heard a story of a songwriter who met a 64-year-old woman who had been confined to her bed for 16 years. She was in constant pain, unable to move her limbs, yet he says she was one of the most thankful people he had ever met in his life. She told him that God had given her one great blessing, and that was the use of her thumb on her right hand. Nothing else would work, but she could use that thumb on her right hand. With it and a two-pronged fork fastened to a stick, she could put on her glasses, feed herself, drink, and turn the pages in her Bible. She once said told a visitor, I have so much to be thankful for. When asked why, she replied, since my sins are forgiven, I can lie back and drink daily in the great love of Jesus, my Savior. Isn't that amazing? Have you met people like that? I have. People that seemingly don't have a lot going for them, at least doesn't seem like life has been kind. There's a lot of trouble, and yet they're so thankful. And unfortunately, I've met the other people too, who are so blessed and have so much and don't appear to be thankful at all. We need to thank the Lord for all that he's done for us, all the blessings that come from the Lord. Like the psalmist said, say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. All that you have done. I think it's one of the reasons why it's a little ritual, but I think it's important to pray for meals. Not everybody does that, maybe, but just because we're remembering, you know, this, Lord, thank you. You really provided this. I mean, yeah, we went to the store and bought it, but you provided an ability for us to work, to have income, so we could buy this. It all comes from God. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Number 12, thank you, Lord, for preserving our life. David said, I will not die but live and proclaim what the Lord has done. All of our lives are dependent on God. He's the one who keeps us alive. Someday, we're going to leave this earth. We're going to die, unless Jesus comes back first and takes us home. But if that doesn't happen before, we're going to die and leave this earth. But for right now, we're here, and we're dependent upon God for every day. We shouldn't take life for granted. You know, you've heard the stories in California with the fires that swept through those places. People got up that morning, living their ordinary life in an ordinary house, and that fire came sweeping through the community, and before they knew it, they were running for their lives, and many of them lost their lives. is very sad, and we need to pray for all those affected by that tragedy. But it just reminds me that we need to be grateful and thankful for every day of life we have. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Thank you, Lord, for preserving our life. And he not only preserves our life here according to his will, but he does it forever because he gives us eternal life through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. We have eternal life. He preserves our life now and forever. Praise the Lord. We have a lot to be thankful for. Number 13, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of worship. Open the gates of righteousness, it says. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. It's a picture of the worshipers moving up to Jerusalem, entering into the gates of the temple to worship the Lord. The whole reason they came to Jerusalem was to worship the Lord. Yeah, there was fellowship and celebrations, and it was really quite the event, but they came to worship the Lord. And you know, one of the things that they did is they offered these things called thank offerings. Thank offerings are a sacrifice that's offered to the Lord for no other reason except to say thank you. No strings attached. They didn't get anything back from it. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. They came to be thankful. For us, I hope that when you come to worship the Lord, you are eager and want to come and worship the Lord. It is a privilege. Like the psalmist says, I rejoice with those who said, let us go into the house of the Lord. I rejoiced. One of the things that's been interesting in our day, and I've talked to other pastors about this, and I'm really not trying to get after anybody. I'm just trying to tell you the truth here, that worship attendance has gone way down, as meaning that people come a lot less than they used to. They might say, that's my church, but they just don't come real a lot. Used to be in the good old days, a person might miss a couple days, a couple weeks a year. Now it's they miss a couple weeks a month. And I don't understand all that and all that's going on. But what I want to say to you is I think we need to understand worship is a privilege. When we come to worship the Lord, it's important that we come and thank the Lord and worship him. And it should be part of our life pattern. Not just here at church, but privately to worship the Lord too. Privilege of worship. Thank you, Lord, number 14, for a victorious Savior. There's an interesting, in verse 22, it says, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. That's really interesting. It's a messianic prophecy. Jesus himself applied that scripture to himself in the Gospels. He said this, they were writing about me when they said this. See, the Jewish people were considered to, the leaders kind of trying to build their nation. But they rejected the one who was to be the cornerstone, the capstone of the country, of the people. Jesus was that stone that was rejected that became the cornerstone or the most important part of the building. In Colossians 1:18, speaking of Jesus, it says, he is the head of the body of the church, the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Jesus came to usher in the kingdom of God. Being the king, he was rejected. But he died on a cross, was raised back to life, exalted to the right hand of God the Father. He is still the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, the cornerstone, our Savior. We can also thank the Lord for each new day. Verse 24 is probably the most familiar one in this passage where it says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Some people think that that verse just refers back to verses 22 and 23, which are talking about what God has done through us through Jesus, and it certainly applies to that, that important day when Jesus did what he did for us. But it also applies to every day. Every day is the day the Lord has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. Now, we have a tendency to only rejoice and be glad in it if we're feeling good or if things are going good. But every day is a day the Lord has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. It's interesting, in the 1700s in France, several Protestant Christians were martyred for their faith. They were given an opportunity to recant their faith and live, and many of them refused, and they died martyrs' deaths. Three of them, history tells us, on the way to their death, after they had declared their faith in Christ and they were walking to their death, you know what verse they quoted? Three different people quoted, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Can we even relate with that? Because we tend to use that when things are going good, don't we? They used it when they were walking to their death that they did not deserve. It's just amazing, that kind of spirit and attitude where they're trusting the Lord, looking forward to what is ahead. Each new day is a new day. We need to thank the Lord for that. And lastly, thank the Lord for your blessings. He says in the end of the psalm here, the Lord is God. He has made his light shine upon us. He's made his light shine upon us. That's kind of a phrase that's used as a benediction sometimes. You know, the Lord's light shining upon us. It's a symbolic of the blessings of God being poured upon us. We've been blessed, and we need to thank the Lord for those blessings. When God gave instructions to the people of Israel when they were getting ready to go into the promised land, he said, when you get in there, don't forget, but be thankful. Because we have a tendency to forget as humans, don't we? When you're blessed greatly, I don't know why it is, but it's just really easy to take it for granted and forget and not be thankful people. But the truth is, we need to thank the Lord. Praise be to God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. We are blessed. We are blessed. The psalm here ends the same way that it began. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Be thankful. Be thankful. You know, like I said at the beginning, thankfulness is something we need to learn. It's not automatic. And if you struggle with being thankful, you can change that. You can change. It just means remembering God and all that he's done and thanking him. Thanking him. This is a great week to do that. We have Thanksgiving holiday. A great week to thank the Lord for all that he's done for us. Psalm 119 is a great psalm, and you could find a lot more reasons to thank the Lord in here, plus the other psalms that are in here. It's kind of a fun exercise, I think, to search and see how many reasons you can see to thank the Lord, because there are many, many, many reasons to thank God. We're going to close our service with a time of prayer together, and I'm going to ask the musicians to come up and lead us in a song of worship. And as we pray, it could be that you just need to come pray prayers of thanksgiving today. Thank the Lord for what he's done. Or you can come and thank the Lord about anything that's on your heart. The scripture says we're not supposed to worry about it in everything, but in everything through petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So we do it with thankful hearts, thankful that he welcomes us, thankful that he hears us, thankful that he can help us. And we do have a lot to pray about.